successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the world of boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
What the hell are those yard birds doing in my boat?
This is the world of boating. Greg, your first mate, that is me. We got Barry the Boater, we got Mike the Mariner, and even Joe from Motor City Boat Works with us today. All right, so he's doing a pretty cool consultation for a couple in Italy that bought a Carver, and you guys are comparing notes, or where are you at in the process? Is he actually started, or are you guys still just talking?
He started. He's working through his process. This was kind of one of our initial consulting things. Got to have the plan. What do you want to accomplish? What's your priorities? What do you need to be aware of? And then, usually, as people get started working, they start having questions about, materials. Hey, I want to do some type of headliner covering, cover my ceiling. And what are my options? What do you think about? He asked a really good question. This boat had some type of a perforated, kind of a fake leather, cream color headliner ceiling, right?
All right.
Like you see on the 70s boats, mm-hmm. right? And he doesn't like it. His girlfriend doesn't like it. And he's like, can we paint it? And I said, well, of course you could paint it. You could paint anything, but I said, what you might do, because it really looked pretty.
Does it still have a disco ball?
No, disco ball. It actually looked pretty good. Yeah. And it was not torn and it was not stained or discolored. It just looked very 70s. And I said, well, what you could think about doing, and it was sagging a little bit. I said, what you can think about doing is thin strips of teak finished and take this open expanse of the ceiling and maybe break it down into a little bit of a grid work with the teak. And or even if the teak is painted or the wood is painted, like molding, the point is that it breaks up this 70s looking, like you said, disco ball hall, Mike, right? And it turns it into something that's a little more
because it'll take the sag out also. It'll push it back out.
Exactly. And then you don't have to worry about the paint peeling off of the surface and you've got this clean surface. It's perforated for a reason, obviously. Maybe there's a condensation breathing, whatever it needs inside there. That's the way it was designed. So, just kind of think about it in those terms. And because he's doing a very I would use the term bachelor pad, kind of minimalist, industrial, kind of commercial, kind of design, cleaning stuff and painting things. You know, it's not like it's not super refined. It's just kind of, what do we say?
Utilitarian.
Utilitarian. Shipley, like you would see on a fisherman's boat. It's proper. It's clean. You know,
or a navy destroyer. It's all gray. Exactly.
He's using a lot of gray and white. He is, right? Yeah. And I said, so this type of thing, your ceiling very simply would match that. If you did some type of lattice work or something, and you maybe helped anchor it down so it didn't sag. And when you're doing that level of finish, you can really experiment and do a lot of different things. Avoid the temptation to paint everything, I would say.
Right.
But, kind of think outside the box of what you're trying to do.
Yeah. Well, in something like that, you are talking more design.
Yeah.
Is the girlfriend involved in this quite a bit too, or she's like handed it off to him and you to kind of figure it out? And she gives her approval or denial.
I think it was, they were both listening to the part of the conversation.
This is really hard to answer, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's kind of like, well, and I try to approach it. I had the same exact thing on the house.
All in fun, by the way.
It had this kind of cool dimpled ceiling inside this trawler that I lived on. And, I didn't really like it. It was very 70s, very plasticky, but but it was kind of retro, and it was like, it was
come
clean.
Back around eventually, honey. Come on. Around.
Right. Yeah.
You know everything does. You know, jean jackets are back in fashion.
Okay.
Yeah. I decided to spend the time kind of jazzing up some of the teak trim and stuff around it, and it kind of, it was less obvious once I dealt with some other things. But Barry, you had a question about what's the difference between like a professional doing this type of stuff and then like where do I come in with this other, you know, kind of sort of advice?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, what's the threshold of going from what you've done in the past to, okay, we got to bring in a real professional that does this all the time kind of thing? Right.
Well, yeah. So it's, I like to think of it as a spectrum, right? And there are, I am
Barry's
filling,
on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to fill the role of the competent amateur, not at the professional end of the spectrum and not at the complete newbie, I don't know what I'm doing end of the spectrum, but somebody in the middle who has a lot of experience doing a lot
history.
Of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of history. Yeah. But clearly, I draw a line at certain things that I don't think people should be messing with, or I wouldn't mess with as a guy who's been doing this 30 years. Mm-hmm. Like, you just, it doesn't make any sense. Why do that? Have someone else do that, you know, or safety mm-hmm. issue or something like that. But I acknowledge that there are many, many, many things that you can do along that spectrum that an amateur could probably work on and do a pretty good job if they just knew a couple things before they got started. And that's the role I'm trying to fill.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that works out because value, I mean, your history that from working on all these boats for all these years means and living on them is that you've learned what you can handle comfortably, what you feel you need to farm out, like rebuilding an engine or a transmission or having your prop done. Versus you taking off, you know, stainless steel and just putting in new steel railings, that's something that you might be able to handle where you wouldn't have to hire someone out.
Right.
And that it really comes down to cost benefit and your ability to work with tools.
Yeah, it does. It also has to do with your tolerance budget wise, what you can do. Mm-hmm. There are things today that I pay for. Pay to have somebody do or just buy a new one or whatever. Whereas in the past, I was, as a young 20-something-year-old Marine officer, fresh lieutenant, that I was very concerned about, man, I don't have $100 to go spend at West Marine. Like, what's another option? Is there another? There's not another option besides I got to go to West Marine and spend $300 on a new pump? Like, what is this, right?
You're going to rebuild it yourself and try to make it work.
You're going
to
try and rebuild it yourself. You're going to try and repurpose parts. You're going to, you want to have a nice boat, but you can't afford the time or the money or the effort to do a repeat 3-month varnish job on your boat using some bespoke Italian varnish or that you get from somewhere, like all the experts and salty dogs tell you to use. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for that. I use Cetol Sikkens. I put it on, it lasts 18 months if I'm lucky. And then I go ahead and sand it down and put on the next thing. And it doesn't look as good as Italian varnish, but my wood doesn't also look nasty. It looks reasonable from 10 feet
away. It's
protected,
which is what you're supposed to do. You're protecting the wood.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, there you go.
So I have a question for Mike. Now, Mike has this big boat. You have this big Silverton, Mike. Do you do your maintenance or do you have someone who does the stuff? That's a big boat. You got a lot of work to do on that.
Yeah, I do some. I mean, I've been forced into it a couple of times. Fuel pump replacement on the generator.
Mm.
A few, you know, some things like that, but
you didn't do the prop shaft.
No, I didn't do that.
And why didn't you do that?
Because what year is that boat?
It's an 03. 2003.
Okay, man. I would say that's a modern boat.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of draw a line that boats that are like before about the mid 90s, I kind of consider those like, those are old boats. And then there's like a standard that kind of took over right around the end of the 90s.
Mine's a blend.
2000. And everybody started following the rules a little more. The boats are quite a bit more modern.
Totally agree. And we got more coming up on The World of Boating. Stay close.
You're listening to The World of Boating Radio Network.